What's going on, Mother Fathers? It is Thursday, which means football is here again. It's Thursday, then it's Friday, then it's Saturday, then it's Sunday. Just 4 days of great football for all of you that aren't playing college football. I'm sorry, it's only 2 days for you donkey dicks. Look, you need to play college football. I'm telling you, try it out, all right? NFL football, real, real sharp. College football, a real, real dumb, all right? What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate75. I'm a DFS content creator who is here to help you get a little bit better at DFS, because if you don't know, this shit be tough, especially at NFL, where there's a ton of good, sharp content out there. But if you know how to play the game and you want to learn a little bit about the process from a guy who's been doing it for a long time, you might have just found the right place. If you want my plays and core picks and all that bullshit, I'm going to just save you some time. You're not going to find them, so you might want to leave now. There's plenty of other stations that do it. Go check them out. I'm sure they'll appreciate you, and I don't want you around anyways, you donkey dick. But if you find you like the cut of my jib, come check out that schedule right there. Every Monday and Thursday, I do this show live at noon, breaking down the Thursday night and Monday night football slate. As you can see, this is the showdown hoedown, so I have a responsibility, you know, to break down the fucking showdown slate, right? I mean, it seems pretty obvious. Obviously, also, I do golf on Wednesday night. I do my show on Friday night for college football. But don't forget, this Saturday night, every Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Lord's time zone, I do my final thoughts for NFL main slate. Come check that out. Tons of giveaways, all the Q&A you could ever handle, everything you want. And you also need to know this about me. I'm not a fucking poor, okay? So every 75 likes we get today, I will be building a ticket with you in the Millie Maker ticket. I'll buy it. We'll build it together. We'll split it 50-50. People love building tickets with me, so get in there. All you got to do to get in this, simply ask a question over here for the Saturday night one. Just like and retweet my tweet I'm going to put out, what is that, Friday night, right? It'll be a 24-hour warning tweet. Do that. And me and Tambo are doing the week preview show every week. It's already up. Yes, my shitty computer like collapsed on me during the stream, but the replay is up and it is fine. Go check it out. Lots of views. Appreciate all the likes and everything on that. We're going to continue to grow that. Tambo is my brother. We will never stop. All right, let's get to it. For all of you that don't, if you play NFL Showdown, you don't play any other sports, you don't realize how good you have it, you mother father. NFL contests are just so sick, right? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go play in this big $15 tonight, new guy, because you're a dipshit. Okay, that's the answer. And you're going to be like, man, I never win at the NFL. And if you didn't see, I believe it was last Thursday, there was like a 380-person chop, right? So the $1 million got split up. I think they all got like 4,000. And I know you think to yourself, shit, man, if I ever won 4,000 at DFS, I'd be the happiest man alive. But like, you're going to get that once in your life. And now instead of getting $1 million, you got $4,000, which may sound great, but you're going to burn through that 4,000 really fast because you're never going to fucking hit it again. So what you need to do is you need to build lineups where, like, if you hit, you win it all to yourself, or you only chop it with a handful of people. Do not be afraid to be contrarian, okay? Yes, the chalk lineup got there one time with DeAndre Swift going ape shit. I get it, but, like, those guys, a lot of those people are going to burn through that money literally in a week because $4,000 is only enough. It won't even get you through maxing this contest twice. 15 entries at $15 a piece, or 150 at $15 a piece would be $2,250 times two contests. Just two times of maxing this slate, you're already at $4,500. Didn't even pay for two slates. That is not a good plus EV move in the long term. So here's the one piece of advice I want to give you. I said this last week, and I'm going to keep saying it because I get so many freaking new guys every show. By the way, welcome, new guy. I'm not that intimidating, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make your narratives tonight. Showdown is all about finding a script or a narrative of how you think the game's going to play out, right? And then you start putting players in your player pool that fit that script or that narrative, and then you start building how many guys are in my player pool. Sometimes you'll find that you have 8 guys in your player pool, sometimes 15, sometimes maybe even 20 if you think it's going to be a shootout player pool and you want to mix and match all the wide receivers and tight ends, right? All of those are viable. But what you need to do is build your player pool and then go pick your contest, okay? Don't go pick your contest and say, well, I'm going to just play in the $3.20 max tonight, because what if you only like 8 guys tonight? Well, if you only like 8 guys, you're never going to be able to build 20 lineups, so don't commit to the contest before you've built your player pool. Build your player pool, see how many guys are in it. The larger the player pool, the more number of lineups you should play so you can have different variations of that player pool. But the smaller the player pool, the more focused you should be on a single entry or a 3-max or maybe a 5-max at most, right? Or go play in a 3-max and 2 single entries, right? Don't get caught up in, I've got to play this many lineups. If you don't love that many players or that many scripts tonight, you don't need to build 20, 50, 100, 150 lineups. You simply need to build the number of lineups that fit your player pool. And if you don't know, single entry and three maxes are so much more sustainable. And when you hit in those, you can really hit. You don't have to hit the stone cold nuts to take down the $50 single entry. A really good lineup will get you very high up in the $50 single entry. A really good lineup in the Millionaire Maker will get you dick. All right. Maybe a min cash at best, right? So remember that when you're making your lineups. If you make a lineup and it's a script and you think this is how it's going to be and it's just one lineup, well, don't just go throw other guys in there just to build more lineups. Just go toss that bad boy in the $100 single entry or whatever level you're comfortable at. The $33 single entry, the $12 single entry, the $5 single entry. There's so many great contests that fit what you want. And single entries tend to have dramatically better payout structures than those Millionaire Makers. I'm telling you, you do whatever you want with your money, but if you're one of those people that say that you always lose and DraftKings is just a waste of money, you're the dumbass that's making the mistakes, not DraftKings, okay? They're putting the big Millionaire Maker, that's for two kinds of people. That's for fish and pros, and I'm gonna make a bet that if you're watching this show, you're probably neither, Bob. All right, the weather tonight looks pretty good. Clear and 71, right? It could be raining homeless people. It is San Francisco, so you gotta be aware of that. You gotta be aware of that, right? You never know when they're gonna run out on the field, and it gets real icky there in San Francisco sometimes. And for all you in San Francisco, if that hurts your feelings, I don't give a shit. Okay, I live in Oklahoma, the Lord's country. All right. This is the Rosetta Stone new guy. This is what I have. By the way, I have a really fancy one that I do for all my members over on my website. See how pretty that one is with all the projections and optimals and color coding? Yeah, it's a work of art. I like it. I like to think it looks like an offensive coordinator's play sheet, right? It just takes everything. All right, I'm an offensive coordinator and I got a million plays, but I want to focus it down into my call sheet. That's what the Rosetta Stone is. But you're on YouTube, so you get the I'm a poor one, and here we go. All right. By the way, look at that. 81 likes already. Get me up to 150. I want to do at least two drawings today. At least two drawings. All right, look, we're going to make two big assumptions tonight. One big assumption, okay? The first big assumption I'm going to make is I think Brandon Ayuk is trending towards being out. I see some people who are saying he's trending towards being in, but here's the rule I go with. If they don't practice the day before the game, it's like very low that they play. And even if he does play, I think that he is going to be limited. So I'm going to work under the assumption he is out. So even though he is on the stone, I do have him on status watch, and I do have a big line through him, which is never good when you have a line through your name. We're going to start with injuries because tonight I love when there are injuries at Showdown. I don't love players getting hurt, obviously, but I love what it does to the game theory of it because when there are injuries, this is what people just naturally do. This is what the reptilian brain thinks. Oh, Saquon Barkley is out. Matt Breida is a really good play. Okay, well, I don't necessarily agree with that, right? Brandon Ayuk is out. I must go play DeJuan Dennings now. Okay, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I do agree that when Ayuk and Barkley are out, that obviously opens up massive amount of usage for other people. But everybody always just thinks it's the backup, and they rarely think about how it impacts the other stars on the team. Usage isn't always equally gobbled up by the guy sitting behind the injured player on the depth chart. A lot of times, it's just gobbled up by all the other fucking good players. So, let's start with Brandon Ayuk. If Brandon Ayuk is out tonight, I think you're going to see guys like Juwan Jennings and especially Ronnie Bell be mega chalk. People are just going to assume that those guys are going to eat up that usage, and they will certainly get a bump in their usage tonight compared to what they normally get, right? That is a certainty. But the question we need to ask is, will they get a big enough bump in their usage? And by the way, usage is just how often they're on the field, how often they're being targeted, and how involved they are in the offense, right? That's what I mean when I say the word usage. New guy. But maybe the answer is, maybe San Francisco just says, you know what? We need to get the ball to Debo more. We need to get the ball to Kittle more. We need to get McCaffrey the ball in some different ways, and we need to get Elijah Mitchell out there more, right? Maybe those are the guys that eat up the usage, and it's not just a straight, oh, Ayuk is out, so Juwan Jennings and Ronnie Bell and, oh, Ray McCloud become the nuts plays, right? So I really encourage you to think about if we get word that Ayuk is out, maybe it's that his usage isn't just eaten up by the backups, but maybe it's eaten up by other members of that San Francisco offense. And it opens up value and usage to people that that the market is not accounting for. All right. The other big news is Saquon Barkley is definitively out tonight, which does open up an interesting situation for the Giants, right? He is $11,000, and you would think Matt Breida would be. Yes, I'm saying Burrito. I am hungry. Fucking deal with it, all right? So Matt Burrito is, you would think, just the obvious fill-in. But at $7,000, that's not a free square, bro. I do think he will get the lion's share of the work for the Giants. But you got to look at this line. The first thing you should always look at in an NFL game is the line. And the 49ers are a 10-point favorite. I'm just going to tell you right now, the 49ers are like Super Bowl-winning good team. They are a legit team. They've beat the brakes off of the first two teams they played. And I actually think the first two teams they played are like average or above average teams, right? So this is not a great script for Matt Burrito. All right, he's just at 7,000. If he were like 4,200, I'd be like, okay, we got to play him. But at 7,000, there is a path to fading the starting running back for the Giants because there is a path to which they get in a really bad script and they get behind, or they just get their brakes beat off of him and he's not even involved, right? And then you think, well, what about, you know, who's going to get some of the third down work? Well, we really don't know, right? But we're kind of guessing. I think Burrito's going to get some of it, but I think Gary Brightwell is also playable. But at $5,000, he is sure as shit not a free square, because $5,000 for the backup running back for the team that's likely to be getting their ass kicked is not exactly the best situation to be getting yourself into. So then you got to ask yourself, well, if Saquon's out and the Giants are going to be competitive at all, who is going to eat up that usage? And once again, maybe the answer isn't the obvious backup. It's just the backup, right? Maybe it's all these wide receivers that the Giants have, okay? And trying to figure out the Giants' wide receivers is a lot like trying to figure out the Chiefs' wide receivers. It's called fucking roulette, Bob. It's not easy. If you want to see, Hodgins and Slayton have definitely been out there the most. You can see I have their snap count over here. Both of them are out there. Well, let's see. Hodgins has been out there 2/3 of the plays, and Slayton 3/4 of the plays. And Paris Campbell's been out there quite a bit too. And those three guys lead in targets. So you would think those would be the three leading guys to get with this passing game, right? But it's not that simple, Bob. It's not that simple. Jalin Hyatt is the guy that they spent some draft equity on. He is the rookie out of Tennessee, and he is certainly their deep threat guy. So just to look and say, well, he's only been out there 28% of plays. Yeah, but he gets like three bombs a game. So you got to consider that they are going to chunk the ball up to Hyatt, especially if they're behind. You got to think they're going to be chunking it. And what convolutes this even more is we just got word that Wandell Robinson will be active tonight and he will be playing. And if you don't remember, Wandell Robinson was like a legit wide receiver. When he played last year, when he was fully healthy and he was getting a full allotment, he was their number one receiver. Now, that was only for like 3 weeks, but he clearly has wide receiver one upside, and Daniel Jones clearly likes him. So watching this Wandell Robinson and just the stone men of 200, even if he is in a limited role, I bet they have some special plays drawn up for him, and he could be a super sneaky play that nobody will ever think, because Saquon's out, maybe Wandell gets some extra love. But I'm telling you, they're going to have to mix it up. When you don't have Saquon running the ball, Burrito and Brightwell are not going to be as efficient, and they're going to have to get the ball to the perimeter more. You're probably going to see more screens. You're going to see more short passes out to the flats, and guys like Wandell could clean up in that. So do not always think that a running back being out for the Giants means that I need to play the backup running back. Just like whenever Ayuk is out doesn't mean you necessarily need to play the backup receiver. I'm not saying those guys aren't good plays. I'm just saying they're not the only ones who are going to positively benefit from the usage, okay? That is the injuries, right? If you don't start with looking at the injury news tonight, I think you're a fool, okay? So Saquon, Wandell, Ayuk. I am under the impression Ayuk is going to be out, but if he is in, I will update it tonight. I will be doing my stream over on my site at 6 o'clock, and we will get those projections and those updated into the solver immediately so everybody can make up-to-date lineups, okay? But I just have a feeling he's going to be out. All right, just going through the slate here, we've already talked about Daniel Jones. Look, you need to know this about the Giants. Through the first 6 quarters of the season, they had scored 0 points. That's not a very good offense, right? Yes, I know they absolutely nuked it in the second half against the Cardinals, but you got to ask yourself, did they just like luck sack for one half against a very, very below average defense, or did they get something figured out? Because there is a very good path. This game is something like 21 or 28-6 tonight, right? There is a very real path to the Giants just sucking and the 49ers being absolutely dominant, right? And in that, you're going to almost certainly want to build a 5-1 build, and that one bring back would probably be like the Graham Gano or one of the random pass catchers for the Giants, right? That if you think that the 49ers are going to blow them out, that would probably be your best build, a 5-1 49ers with Gano or a shitty Giants wide receiver as the run back. But if you think that they can be competitive, you got to ask yourself this. How does Daniel Jones not get there, right? The guy offers a very solid floor. He is running like 43% of their rushing plays right now. Maybe it's 34%. A ridiculous amount. I don't think he can sustain that. But when you get a quarterback who can get you 30 or 40 yards a game with rushing touchdown upside, that's a huge floor that's already built in. Not to mention, you got to assume they're going to be in a script where he's going to be passing that ball all around the field. So 250 to 300 passing yards is likely, and probably one passing touchdown. So with Barkley being out, I think that this dramatically improves Daniel Jones's value if you assume that the Giants are going to be competitive, which I'm not sure they're going to be, right? That only you are going to know what your narrative is for the game tonight. At wide receiver, once again, Hodgins, Slayton, and Campbell are the guys who are going to be on the field the most, but I am convinced that Hyatt is their guy, that they want to be their stud, and I bet he gets a long shot or two. So he is a dude at 5,200 who is dramatically overpriced for how much he'll be in the game, and I think that if you're just playing to win a GPP, all it takes is that guy to get one catch, 60 yards, and a touchdown, and he's there. He's gotten there because he's not going to be that highly owned. And then once again, I think you got to watch out for Wandell. I don't know what his role is going to be tonight, but at $200 at the stone minimum on a guy that we've already seen can get it done, I think you got to be open to that. But what I think that everybody will forget about tonight is Darren Waller. Who's the number one receiver for the Giants? It's their tight end. His name's Darren Waller. He is getting targeted a lot. Daniel Jones clearly values him the most. And I think in a game like this, where if the Giants are going to be competitive, it will largely be on the back of Darren Waller being in there. So if you're buying the script that this could be a shootout or the Giants are going to be in a competitive game, I think that Darren Waller, 7,400, is completely a steal. He seems underpriced. And I think he is a guy that will also see a bump in usage with Saquon being out. From there, Gano and the Giants defense, these get really hard to play, right? If you're playing the Giants defense, I actually, this has been a new thing that I've been on. It's working out really well. I really like defenses ran back against the quarterback, right? So if the Giants do get a pick six early in the game, that probably puts Brock Purdy in a script where he is now passing around. Or even if they get one early in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, while Purdy's throwing the ball all around, the Giants get a pick six. Well, that's 8 points for the defense, and now it's just going to keep Purdy that much more aggressive. What I don't like to do is I do not like to run the Giants against, like, McCaffrey, right? Because if McCaffrey's running the ball 25 times for 150 yards, that probably means the Giants are not getting any sacks, any interceptions, and having no chance at scoring points. So when you run a defense out there, think of the correlation to the other team. Going for San Francisco, Brock Purdy's just a game manager, but he's a pretty good one, and it just seems like 49ers are going to really, really lean on the Giants tonight, and you've got to like this environment with the 49ers defense and their rushing game. It just seems like they're going to control it, and so with that, you have to ask yourself, does Brock Purdy have the upside to pay off a $9,400 salary? And only you know the answer to that. My initial instinct is probably not, right? Because I think Christian McCaffrey is super efficient, obviously. He has a lion's share, but if you did not see, they are trying to get Elijah Mitchell more involved. I think he could be a very sneaky play tonight, and here's my craziest take. I think you can play McCaffrey and Mitchell in a lineup. I think they can both get there. Old Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt style from 2 years ago, right? I think this is a game where both running backs can get there for San Francisco, and you could just fade the passing. Matter of fact, you could probably go McCaffrey, Mitchell, and Debo, because you know Debo's going to get some weird-ass run plays, and he's going to get a bunch of screens. I think Debo is almost a must-play because if Ayuk is out, because he is the one that definitely stands to benefit from the increased usage. But once again, the guys that everybody's going to want to play is Jennings and Bell. And I'm not saying they're not good plays. They are definite. If Ayuk is out, they will definitely be on the field more. But you got to ask yourself, just because they're on the field more, will they be more involved in the offense? To me, the guy that I think is a sleeping monster tonight that could get a little bit of love and people will not think enough about is old George Kittle. $6,600 for George Kittle on a showdown slate is laughably low. And based on, you know, just his usage so far this season, people are not perceiving him as an elite tight end anymore. I think he is a smash play tonight. I think he's a guy that will eat up some of that Ayuk usage. Now, if Ayuk does play, yes, I'm definitely going to downgrade my dude Kittle, right? But if Ayuk is out, I think that opens up a ton of value. And then, of course, anytime you have a 10-point favorite, you've got to be considering the kicker and the defense for the winning team. If you're doing 5-1 49er builds, I would say when you do a 5-1 49er build, definitively, you need to either have the defense as one of those five or the kicker, if not both, right? Because if the 49ers are going to go out there and blow them out, it is probably going to mean that the kicker or the 49ers defense, one of those two is having a really good game and offering you that salary relief that you're going to need to have a nuts type lineup, right? If you go Purdy, McCaffrey, Debo, Bell, and Kittle as your five, okay, well, they better score 35 points, okay? because like there's not a good chance that all those mouths can be fed in a game, and the defense and the kicker don't outpace one of them, right? Not to mention you're going to really burn through a lot of salary doing that, so you probably have Bell at the captain, right? So really think about, if you think the 49ers are going to blow them out tonight, how can you build your lineup differently, and how can you do it most efficiently? And I don't think that Purdy, a running back, and three pass catchers is the best 5-1 San Francisco build. I think you certainly want to have either the 49ers defense or Jake Moody, the kicker, okay? So there you go. That is roster construction. That is injury updates. And that is the game theory. Let's get over to the questions. But before we do, come check out my site, dgen75.com, the fastest growing community in all of DFS. That I can assure you. Just people keep signing up all the time. Maybe it's because we have a whole bunch of winners and we celebrate the winners of our community and not my wins. Look at all these motherfathers who are winning, flying the flag. Appreciate all these guys. 10,000, 8,300, 5,300, 5,000, 2,000. Incredible hits. The football wins are starting to roll in just like they happened during PGA. That's right. And you want to know what they're doing? None of them are my picks or my plays. All of them are using this thing right here called the Rosetta Stone. It is the best tool out there. There has to be a place in DFS where you can get good projections, good ownership, and a great tool without being fucking price gouged. And that's what we offer over there, right? And you know what? We're small enough to value every one of our customers and big enough to not give a shit if you don't like it. It's a magical place to be over at DGEN75.com. If you think all this sounds cool, but you're reluctant to just sign up, well, just do this. Go sign up for my newsletter right here, the Motherfather newsletter, which is right here in the description of this video. Show the editor at the DGEN editor on Twitter that you signed up. He'll give you a free week on the site. And why do I do that? Because I know once you're there, you're just going to want to come right back, right? So once we boot you after a week, you'll be like, shit, man, I need to go sign up now. All right, editor, let's get to the drawing. It looks like we currently have 119 likes. So for right now, editor, let's draw one name. And then when we get to 150 likes, which I know we'll get to because there's 180 of you mother fathers in here, we will do a second one. So right now, editor, draw me a name, and let's do that. And then here in a minute, editor, be watching. When we get to 150 likes, which we're going to get to, you're going to draw another name for me, editor. All right, there we go. Look at that right there. Jumped to 129. Look at these sweaty tryhards reluctant to hit the like button. I hope the editor didn't fall asleep. Should we do a poll? Is the editor dead? Is the editor dead? That should be our poll. Brett Bilke, I know that guy. He's good people, always supporting the cause. And helped me when my calf blew out. And still gives me emotional advice on, like, don't worry about blowing out your Achilles, which I fear every day. Because me and Aaron Rodgers, the exact same age. And watching his Achilles pop scares the shit out of me. All right, we're up to 136. I'm going to start answering some questions. Once we get to 150 likes, we will do another one. If we get to 175, we'll do another one. Because, once again, not a pour. Hey, guys, don't forget, after this, go check out my dudes over at Ship It. You're going to have Hoop and Tambo and Title all breaking down the Thursday Night Football site. I promise you they will say something that I did not say that will be a very good point. If you're only watching one show for Thursday Night Football, I don't think you're doing it right. I think you need to hear multiple smart people talk about it. And let me tell you, those motherfathers right there, they are real smart. Okay? All right, I'm going to answer some questions now. Waiting for 150 likes. Let's get to it. Will a 5-1 San Francisco stat being mega chalk tonight? I don't think a 5-1 is ever mega chalk, Mike, but I will tell you this. It will be more popular tonight than it normally is, right? It will be more popular. So I would say it's going to be something like 20% of lineups are going to be that, which is really, really high for a 5-1. Let me get a quick swig of the cold brew. Cold brew's smacking today. I will tell you, 12:22, I'm still drinking cold brew. My ass going to be up late tonight. Dims the rules. All right. 5-1 Frisco with a New York Giants. Okay, Nick, that's a way to really be different, right? If you're going to do a 5-1 San Francisco build, which I just said I think is going to be rather popular, putting a Giant at the captain could be it. But you really are banking on the one Giant to have a ton of usage. And I'm just going to tell you, who the hell is going to soak up all the usage for that piece of shit team? Maybe Waller, I don't know. But that is a way to get different. If you're trying to ship a GPP and you want to play the San Francisco wins 28-10 narrative, I could see that getting there. Ready to take it down. All right. Hey, we're up to 147 likes. Let's go. Burrito revenge game? Well, I mean, I had a burrito at the fair yesterday, and it did some revenge on me last night. Does that count? Let's see. Jesse, are C. Noon and JT Snake in here? I don't know. They're here a lot, I'd imagine. Let's see. What a weird fucking question to come in. Jesse Atfield. What a fucking strange question. All right. Already smashed the like. It's banjo time. That's right, you motherfather. Cody Berry. Can you see this game being another kick-ass, another ass kicking from the Giants on a short week being shorthanded. I mean, look, I don't, I very, very, very rarely, Cody, like to play the favorite blowout narrative, right? So, like, the 49ers are a pretty big favorite. And, you know, the prevailing narrative is going to be the 49ers blow them out. And I like to be very contrarian. But I'm not going to lie to you. This just seems like an ass-stomping kind of spot. I know I'm a big proponent of, in the NFL, all these teams are, like, razor-thin difference. But this is just a bad spot for the Giants. So I do not mind running with the narrative that the 49ers are going to beat the brakes off of them. And maybe what I can do is just construct my lineup a little bit different. Maybe getting off, if Ayuk is out, maybe getting off of Bell, maybe getting off of Jennings and constructing my lineup in a different way, right? Because if you made me choose, that would be the one that I would want to go with the most, is the 49ers beat the brakes off of them. Hey, editor, I see 150 likes. Draw another name for me. If we get to 175, I'll do another one because, once again, not a poor. And there's 187 in here. We're killing it. See, that's a police code joke. Okay. What's your take on Ronnie Bell? Some of the rookie wide receivers are doing well. I mean, Ronnie Bell is, at $200 is, if Ayuk is out, Ronnie Bell, I bet, is going to be 50% owned. He is going to be on the field. He is a good receiver, and the 49ers are probably going to get him, I would guess, at minimum 3 to 5 targets, right? So in that sense, he's a very, very safe play. But free squares at Showdown are a lot like $3,000 wide receivers on main slate. A lot of times I feel like they're a trap, and they're just a way to get you having the same build as about 50,000 other people, because when you put a $200 guy in your lineup, it's going to push you to all the exact players as it pushes everybody else to, right? It's going to push you to McCaffrey. It's going to push you to Debo. It's going to push you to Daniel Jones. And now you basically have the same four guys that everybody else has, and your lineup is not different. So just by fading that one low, cheap owned guy, you can get dramatically different with the way that you construct your roster. All right, blowout. I mean, it's certainly a possibility. Let's see. All right. Any way you can fade CMC tonight? Yeah, absolutely. I think that there is a path that the 49ers get up early. Maybe Purdy throws a couple touchdowns and, you know, McCaffrey gets something like 16 rushes for 90 yards, 3 catches for 20 yards, and doesn't fall into the box. And if he gets that at 13,200, he ain't ever going to be the optimal play, right? There's just, at that price tag, he is going to probably need 100 yards plus the bonus plus a touchdown, probably 5 catches for like 30 or 40 yards, right? And I do think that the 49ers are realizing that he is the best running back in the NFL, and they have Super Bowl potential, and they probably don't want to run all the rubber off of those tires this early in the season against a team that appears to be outmatched in the Giants. So I think there is definitely a path to fading McCaffrey. Definitely a path to fading McCaffrey, right? And if you do, I think that the most obvious way to do that is you go Purdy and wide receiver stacks, or you just go Mitchell instead of him, right? And just hope that Mitchell gets something like 30% of the workload tonight. And McCaffrey is going to get his yards. He is going to be efficient. But if he doesn't fall in the box, there's a very good chance that he is not going to pay off 13,200, right? All right, moving on. Is Bell too much of a punt? Jennings better? Okay, so here's the answer. If Ayuk is playing, I think Bell is probably too big of a punt, right? But if Ayuk is out, Bell doesn't become a punt. I think Bell becomes a obvious play. I think he's a guy that you would have to put in any type of cash lineup you're doing tonight, right? But to play him in a GPP, I think there's a path to fading him. I think Juwan Jennings is viable in either format would be my answer to that. I need to go see who won the second drawing. Who won the second drawing? Let's get down here. The second drawing was Bryant. There you go, Bryant. We still only got to get 22 more likes, and we'll do another one because I'm not a poor. All right, Jesus, these questions. There's so many questions. Oh, God, oh, questions. Daniel Jones, Captain Contrarian, definitely, Tyler. Not many people are going to be playing him, and I think with his rushing upside, he is a very good candidate for a captain. I think he's a very good candidate because he could rush for 2 touchdowns, throw for 1 touchdown, get 300 yards, and he will be an absolute monster play. Who do you think gets a bump if Ayuk is out? Already hit on that about a million times. Running both backs for the 49ers the way to go. I don't hate it, Joanne. I think that makes a lot of sense, right? But there's also, you know, I think McCaffrey's going to be on the order of 70 to 80% owned tonight, right? There's got to be, anytime a guy gets over 70% at Showdown, you always start have to ask yourself, is there a path to fading them? Hashtag Nick Chubb, right? Kittle at captain, I really like that, rarely sober. I think he makes a lot of sense. I feel like he will be the most overlooked. This is assuming Ayuk is out. I think Kittle is the guy who sneaky gets the biggest usage bump. Why wouldn't any of you not ask a question? Some people just like to hear my voice, brother. They like to hear the big guy's voice at lunch. All right, is there any narrative where the Giants actually somehow, how the Giants keep it close enough where Danny Dimes as captain makes sense? I think that Danny Dimes is actually a better captain in a script where they're getting their asses kicked, right? 28-13, and Danny Dimes gets 300 yards, 50 rushing yards, and throws a touchdown late in the fourth quarter to make the game seem closer than it is. He could get there as a captain depending on who's getting all those touchdowns for the 49ers, right? Thoughts on a 5-1 Giants stack? Damn, Drew. I'll tell you what, it's bold as shit. I'll tell you that. I just, what five Giants could get there, right? I just asked myself, like, okay, so maybe you want to go, maybe you're going to play that it's going to be a 16-13 game for the Giants. So maybe the Giants defense, the kicker gets there, Waller, Jones, and I guess Burrito, maybe? I just really struggle to see a 5-1 build that makes sense in a logical game script tonight, right? Especially with the 49ers offense being so concentrated. Do you have a particular qualifier event that you like playing? I'm always down to play satellites whenever there is an overlay. And if I had to go look at them, I haven't been playing any satellites at NFL, but I will tell you the Football World Championship and the King of the Beach are both very, very cool. Those are ones I would check out. Problem is, as you can already see, it's like what? Not even 1 o'clock. And these motherfathers are almost all 2/3, if not 3/4 of the way full. So you're just not catching any overlays. I like to save my satellites and qualifiers for PGA. That's just because it's easier to get contrarian at PGA than it is at NFL. Right, so that'd be my answer to that, brother. Is it crazy to debate both quarterbacks? No, I think you can easily. I'm not a big fan of fading both quarterbacks, but if I was ever going to do it, it would be a game tonight. Another slow, sloggy game on Thursday Night Football. I'll tell you this: the 49ers are one of the slowest teams in the NFL. And you can see we only have them at a C pace. And I think the Giants are going to want to play so slower with Barkley out. So I think this is a game you see both teams under 60 total plays. Fade Daniel Jones? Yeah, I mean, you follow your heart, big guy. Hey, mother father, who's the least favorite player projecting over 10% in captain? Probably Burrito. I actually don't have it, but I mean, people are going to play him. I just don't love this spot for him. Fade CMC at captain tonight. If you want to be different, that's a great place to start, right? And it really going to give you a ton of freedom, Sarah, in how you construct the rest of your lineups. Because when you put CMC at the captain, $19,800. That is the most expensive captain I've ever seen in my life. Let's see. 150 max. How many captains? I base my captains on the number of scripts that I'm running. So I would probably have something like 3 scripts in that 150 max. And for each script, I would probably have 2 or 3 captains. So I probably have somewhere in the range of 6 to 9 captains. Nice. Let's see. How we feel about CMC fade? I feel like it's bold, Bob. That's how I feel. So, any cheap guys you're looking at donkey chalk tonight? Yeah, I think Ronnie Bell and Wandell are probably the two most likely. Not picks or FanDuel cash entry. Can you share 1 to 2 nuggets of wisdom, not picks for FanDuel cash? Yeah. Typically speaking, you're always going to put the free square guy in your lineup. So if Ayuk is out, you're going to want to have Ronnie Bell in there, right? Or Jawan Jennings or somebody like that. If Burrito is really cheap, I haven't even looked at FanDuel pricing. You're probably going to want to get him in there. You just want to get guys who are on the field who are cheap per dollar. That's usually what you do. And quarterbacks, typically, like a Daniel Jones, are pretty safe plays because they almost have like a 15-point floor where nobody else on the slate really offers that, right? Let's see. Jacob Olsen says, what is the best way to determine the variance between the pass catching options for the 49ers? Just seems like a lottery pick. You know, you say that, Jacob, but weirdly enough, the 49ers have one of the most condensed passing games in the NFL. It's basically Kittle, Debo, and Ayuk who get almost all of it. And then, of course, McCaffrey, right? And if we get word that Ayuk's out, I think that I just like McCaffrey and Samuel and Kittle that much more to soak up more of those passes, right? That's just my projection. All right, what's up, mother father? How you feel about Niners D and kicker in the same lineup? If you think the 49ers are going to blow them out, The kicker and the defense are very well correlated, right? If they win this game something like 30-7 and you can get 3 field goals and 3 extra points and the defense scores one of those touchdowns, I think that's a lineup that makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense if you are going with that. I don't really love it if you think it's going to be a shootout because that doesn't make any sense that those two would be in a lineup together, right? Let's see. Agree. I do not want to start with any Giants tonight. You? I mean, I'm a big contrarian guy at Showdown, but I will tell you, of all the times to be contrarian, tonight I am feeling the least comfortable with it. Do you prefer a 5-1-3-3? Okay, so if I'm going 49ers, I would be a 5-1 build, 4-2 at the least. If I'm going Giants, I would probably like a 3-3 or a 4-2, right? And by that, I mean a Giants captain in that 3-3. I think that's the only way to be different because I do not want to build my lineup the same fucking way everybody else is going to build it, right? Devin says, have we have Locke on McCaffrey and the captain, right? We have to. You don't have to do shit. There is a chance that they get ahead and pull his ass out in the fourth quarter, or if he doesn't score a touchdown at that ridiculous price tag, he does not get there. I think the easiest way to get different tonight is have McCaffrey in your lineup, but have him in the flex, or just completely fade him. But you got to ask yourself, am I just getting different to get different now, or am I getting different and I still have a lineup that has a path to success, right? Like, if you're fading McCaffrey and leaving $10,000 on the table, I think you're doing it wrong. Jason says, thoughts on playing kicker defenses in showdown? I don't typically like them, but when there's a big favorite, I am not opposed to playing them for the big favorite, right? Cowboys versus Giants replay tonight. 40-0? It wouldn't surprise me, Bob. Would not surprise me. I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFL right now. I think people are overlooking them, and I think they are legit. Would Debo at captain with one other Niner and four Giants be a different build? Absolutely, Cody. No one's going to build like that. No one's going to build like that. All right, thoughts on Elijah Mitchell. Short week. Yeah, I think Elijah Mitchell is a guy that will probably be under-owned versus where he should. I think that you're going to see McCaffrey get a huge role tonight, but not as big as he's gotten in the first 2 weeks. And because of that, you'd have to think Elijah Mitchell is the guy that benefits the most from that. 200 people in here. Get me up to 175 likes so I can do one more drawing before the big guy gets out of here. I think I'm going to go play some golf this afternoon before I got to get it back for the Discord stream tonight. Niners defense priced appropriately? I think 6,000 is about where I would have them, and they're at 5,800. 49ers in the D. I don't ever really like defenses in the captain, dude. I wouldn't do that. I would go with guys who have bigger upside, a Debo, a Kittle, somebody like that. I just think that they have bigger upside. Because it's so hard for defenses to get touchdowns, and you really need those touchdowns for your captain. Fade Brock Purdy in a 49ers onslaught? Definitely. Definitely. I think that there's a chance they just run that. You could go Debo, you could go McCaffrey, you could go Mitchell, just play one pass catcher and then the defense, and then you fade at Purdy. I think that Rickroll, that makes a lot of sense. 1K or less on punts tonight? Look, Wandell and Bell are probably going to be rather popular tonight, so just be careful of that, right? Just be careful of that. Looking for questions. Were the savings Mitchell's legs for tonight? Possibly. I don't know. That could just be one of those things. They're like the Rams, and we always think, all right, this will be the week that they give it to the other guy, and they just never do. Can Waller and Bellinger with Jones 4-2? I mean, anything's possible, brother. I wouldn't say it's super likely, though. Giants missing 2-0 lineman guys, too, right? Well, look, let me just tell you why I played Geno Smith last week, right? Oh, Bissamotha's tackles. He'll never do good. Okay, that's narrative bullshit. A lot of these teams do not have the most dominant offensive lineman, and the difference between their starters and their backup is pretty minimal, right? Unless it's like a fucking badass lineman, I don't worry too much about missing offensive linemen because there's just not a huge amount of difference, and a lot of times coaches will know that they're without their linemen, and they will do more quick passes and will account for not being able to have as much time. Looking for question marks. Fading McCaffrey isn't crazy, right? No, it's not crazy. It's bold, but it's not crazy. I make lineups in the solver, export them to CSV, upload to DraftKings, but how do I plug my lineups into a contest bulk? You go to edit entries, right? You just go over here, you go to lineups, you go to edit your entries, and it'll take all your reserved ones, right? Oh, that's just my fill-in college football lineup for tomorrow. I wouldn't read too much into that. Hi, I'm the real Bob. Do you think the 49ers captain D is? Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it, Bob. Mitchell or Kittle at captain enough to be different? Yes, I do think that. I mean, unless it's like a 3-3 build or a 4-2 49ers, that'll still be pretty common. You might want to leave just a little bit of money on the table or not have McCaffrey. Then you're real different. CMC based on the short. Hey, editor, we got 175. Give me another one. CMC based on the short week, are we having 100% usage on Sunday? More likely Mitchell time? I think that's a narrative that makes sense. I don't have any proof to that other than the coach saying we need to get Mitchell out there more. But, you know, that's also just a coach in the moment. You know, then when they get in the game tonight, they're going to want their best player out there. Where's the like button? Are you kidding me? Hermit money? I'm about to hermit kick you in the nuts, pal. All right, your views on a 3-3 balanced build. I think it's actually one of the few slates where a 3-3 build is almost contrarian, especially if you have a giant at the captain. Should I rewind to the start from the beginning? Yes, because then I don't have to answer the same fucking question 57 times. Do you think the 49ers defense is costing more than the defense usually is or will scare people off? Probably. I don't think it'll scare people off. I just don't think that they're going to be like 25% owned like they probably should be. Leaving $2,500 on the table too much? Not if you're fading McCaffrey, I don't think it is. Good afternoon, G-Gens. Kittle and the captain to get different? Yes, already answered that. Getting tired of answering the same questions. Sam Darnold, Elijah Mitchell, or a second stringers? No. I mean, Mitchell, yes. Never play second string quarterbacks. I mean, that shit's for the birds, bruh. What are the birds? Who won the third one, editor? John Fajardo. Let's go. All right. Answering 10 more questions, and then I'm getting out of here like a fat kid in dodgeball because I need to get on the course. All right. I made my first eagle of my life yesterday. Was that yesterday? Yesterday? And I'm ready to go make another one. No chance I'll make it. It was like a 35-foot putt, but I made it. Okay. Okay. Let's see. What is the sum ownership, do you think, for single entry? I think you want to try to be probably under 150 or definitely under 200. Why do you wear a hat indoors, bro? Because I look good in a hat? Why do you suck dick, douchebag? All right. Is Mitchell really the play, or do you see Debo getting mixed into the run game more? I think there's going to be – I would guess 2.5 would be my over-under on how many runs he gets tonight. On rushing attempts. That would be my guess. Is Kittle captain giant competitive script viable? Is Kittle captain in a Giants or competitive script viable? Yes, I'm telling you. The Kittle at captain is viable. How's the big guy? Better now that you're here, Nick. You mentioned Wandell could play. I think he's going to be limited because let's face it. Wandell is fragile. All right, maybe more 12 personnel with injuries on the O-line. I think that makes sense, Ken. I think that maybe you want to run two tight ends out there, right? Bellinger, you know, Bellinger's a guy that'll fall into the box for you. So maybe two Giants tight ends is the ultimate contrarian play. Michael says, do we get more defense given the past few showdown slates? I mean, showdown slates have been pretty sloggy so far, and I think this game could be sloggy, especially if the 49ers are not efficient on offense, right? Not usually a fan of defensive captain, but you considering it? I'm not, but I do like that defense. I just don't really like defense as a captain, especially whenever you have guys like Mitchell and Ayuk, or not Ayuk, but Samuel and McCaffrey and Kittle. I feel like all of them are better options for the 49ers in the captain spot. Do not sleep on prime time Juwan Jennings. There you go, straight from T-Swin. Mitchell or Debo at captain? Both. I mean, I think they're both viable. Did Eric Gray learn how to pass protect yet? Well, when he was, hey, I'm not gonna stand for slander of my OU boys. Okay, I want him to do well tonight, but I don't think he's gonna be out there much. Jenna, welcome, Jenna. Another lady. I think we're up to like 20 ladies that watch the stream. Very big, very big. Okay, is this what McCaffrey fade lineup should look like? Captain Jones, Debo, Kittle, Purdy, Mitchell. Well, actually, I think that's a pretty good build. I will tell you, that does look like a lineup that's going to spend a lot of the money. So just be aware that that is probably going to be a pretty popular build, even fading McCaffrey, right? That will still be a lineup that will be duped a lot. So maybe just sub out one of those pieces to a less owned piece, because that's six really good plays. And really good plays, if you don't know, tend to be high owned. Are we destined to have a missing star player on Thursday Night Football? Probably. Seems like it happens every time. Thoughts on Juszczyk? Always gets touches and blowouts. I mean, look, that guy won somebody the Millionaire Maker last year. He's a guy that, like, you just play as an absolute punt. Maybe instead of playing Bell as a punt, you play Juszczyk as a punt. Dropping in late. CMC tonight? Yeah, so I already answered it. Go back and watch the replay. All right. What's the sloggy game lineup look like? Defenses, kickers, and running backs is typically the answer. How do I get on your Discord? Very simple. You come right over here and you go sign up at dgen75.com. Once you do, it will get you access to the website and then the Discord. The Discord and the website have everything inside of them. It's the same stuff. It's just on the Discord you get all the chat, right? And I will be doing a chat for all my members at 6 o'clock Lord's time zone tonight, going over the Ayuk news. We got to wait for the inactives to drop and going over any last second stuff. And of course, they will have the colored Rosetta Stone because they're not pores. All right, guys, if you want to try it out, but you're a little reluctant, I'm telling you, just go sign up for this newsletter. Let the editor at the DGen editor know that you signed up, which, by the way, the newsletter's down in the description of this video. Do that. We'll get you a free week, right? All my winners tonight, which we had three winners, reach out to me. And editor Wesley says he's already a member. Reach out to at the DGen editor on Twitter, and he'll get you on the Discord, okay? We'll get you taken care of, Wesley. We're here to help, or support _ at the DGen editor on Twitter, right? Both of those will work. They will help you get signed up over there. Don't forget to go at the top of the hour. Go check out my boys over at Ship It Nation. They are breaking down the Thursday Night Football slate too, and they all are real smart. So go check them out. How many beers are required? You know, I golf better now that I don't have those. Guys, thank you for being here. I'll see you tomorrow night for college football. If you're a loser and you don't do college football, I'll see you Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Lord's time zone as always. It's been real, guys. Thanks for the huge audience and all the likes. We will talk to you later, but not before we enjoy this outro.